This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And good morning. What a wonderful Tuesday, the 23rd of September. Can you believe it? September's almost gone. And we'll do the same thing with October, so just how we are. Anyway, biblical response. Today I'm going to introduce, as I always do, my wonderful co-hosts here, each individually gifted by the Lord, anointed to move through life in the power of God and their ministries. Various and sundry differences represented in this room, and yet one common goal, and that's to bring the gospel to the world.
Yes.
Keith Masters. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Praise God. I'm alive and well on
Praise
this side
the
of the dirt. Yeah.
I'm going to say good morning to JW,
okay.
My brother.
Is he listening?
He gave me a call on the road this morning to let me know that he was thinking about me and praying for us.
Okay.
So, cool. Thank you, JW.
Yeah. Thank you, JW.
Yes.
Cool. Well,
absolutely.
If he's ever up this way, when we have, maybe he has some input.
Well, it's a call-in program as well.
That's right. Yes, it is.
Oh, JW, we're opening up
you
our phones
You can use
later.
Your phones.
Unless he wants to drive, what, 50 miles, 60 miles?
Depends on
how. Oh, that's all? He's not far.
That's not
He's
far.
Not that far.
No.
My goodness. I mean, you do that much, right?
Yep.
And more.
Yep.
Well, and beyond Keith is, and by beyond I mean only geographically, is Stephanie Jacobson.
Good morning, everyone. I have brothers, but I don't think they're listening this morning. Call in, guys.
Actually, just to say, your brother Lance, who's actually the voice, did the voiceover for the open and close of the program.
He did.
He did
One
a great
that you
job.
Wrote and he recorded.
He did a fantastic. He had a great voice. So that we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and JW is our brother in the Lord.
There
amen.
You go.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, amen.
Amen. Yeah,
my brother. So is Lance.
Yep.
Yes. And my brother is up north. My other brother is up. My,
yes,
my,
he's,
my,
yep.
My,
yep.
My what do they call that?
He's with the Lord.
He's with the Lord.
No.
No, he's not.
No.
Kevin?
Oh.
Oh, I don't know. I don't
know.
I do
okay.
not know.
Only the
well,
Lord knows.
We will pray.
I do
we would
not
hope.
Know.
Yes.
We would hope.
And no, my other brother, my younger brother, he's up in New York. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yes.
Thank you for clarifying.
Thank
yes,
so
we must
much.
Do
we
that
so
more
confused.
Often.
I know. I wanted to be clear.
Sorry.
And last
Keith.
But certainly always never least.
Never least.
Is Ann Limhoko. Good morning.
Good morning, David. Good morning, everyone in the studio.
Good morning.
This is a great group. We are, just to intro what we're going to be talking about today, and we're really, last week we looked at Charlie Kirk's life and ministry, and what we're doing in connectivity, because the theme that rises up out of his life, his witness, and what drove him in the Spirit was preaching the gospel, certainly always, but he's very heavily invested in sharing with the church the need of the church to get involved in government and politics. And there's a quote I found online I was going to share with you. Kirk said he didn't believe the country could function well any other way than, you know, the body politic of America was so Christian and was so Protestant that our form and structure of government was built for the people that believed in Christ our Lord. And he said this was in 2024. And so the church getting involved in government and politics, which we've been talking about. And with that in mind, we're going to play a clip at this point.
I only do the gospel. I don't touch politics. How would you respond to an American pastor? called a politician. Joshua was a politician. Elijah spoke to politicians. Elisha spoke to politicians. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were politicians. Solomon, David were politicians. I'm not really sure, to be honest, what Bible are they reading, because it's definitely not the same Bible we are reading, right?
It's a dominant point of view, and that's why Jensen Franklin and this church deserve such credit for hosting an event like this, because the majority of American churches stayed silent during this last election. They refused to speak out or even celebrate the reversal of Roe versus Wade.
A lot of churches in America are communists accidentally, and they don't know it. And the reason I say that, the goal of communism was to get Christianity out of the public square and was to get the church out of politics. Karl Marx literally said, my goal is to keep God out and destroy capitalism. When pastors participate in this lie of the church shouldn't speak about politics, they are going off to a communist worldview.
Okay.
Well, I heard. I hope that was clear to everyone.
I hope it was clear. And Charlie Kirk, obviously, the other gentleman who was speaking is from the UK, I think, and so his dialect is a little different.
Yeah.
But I hope you got the main point of what he was trying to say.
Yeah. So Charlie Kirk was conversing with Pastor Andrew Sedra, who actually was born in Egypt, but now is a pastor in Australia. Hmm. And I had the pleasure to see Pastor Andrew Sedra when Charlie Kirk had his Believer Summit here in Palm Beach last year of July of 2024. So basically, Charlie Kirk was bold about talking about how the church needs to be involved in government. In fact, he was the guest speaker for Florida Family Voices annual gala, which our co-host Stephanie next to me was attending. And he was addressing pastors. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about there's different churches. You have trembling churches that are scared to talk about anything that they think will offend, but then you have the truth church. And he said it's the church that really speaks out against culture and speaks truth is the true church, which is the remnant. So what we're going to do today is going to be talking about, and I know that David had said, but how the church needs to be involved in government. Mm-hmm. And if Charlie Kirk's memorial service on Sunday is not reason enough for the church to get involved in politics, mm-hmm. I don't know what is. About every prominent pastor was there. You have the vice president, you have the president, you have the whole cabinet. And initial reports have said over 100 million. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
100 million heard the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was proclaimed again and again at that service.
So if anyone doesn't know, we only have approximately 333 million in the United States. So that's worldwide.
Correct.
That makes it worldwide when we're talking those kinds of numbers.
Yeah, but then when I went back for more recent reports, they're saying now 200 million heard the gospel.
Wow.
We know that Charlie was just in South Korea, touched South Korea. Mm-hmm. The church there, they're mourning. You know, that's part of the people that are watching and mm-hmm. listening. All those people heard the gospel. And in person in Arizona, there were approximately 90,000 people gathered inside State Farm Stadium. And mm-hmm. did you know there was another 10,000 because they had like nearby venues to go mm-hmm. for overflow?
They did.
Can you imagine? So like I said before, included in that was our own dear president, President Trump, who spoke last mm-hmm. for all those who watched the memorial. I watched all 5 hours of it. And then you had different cabinet members who spoke. Marco Rubio spoke. Secretary Pete Hegseth spoke. Mm-hmm. And if Charlie did not engage in politics and create relationships with these people, then how do you think he was able to speak into these people's lives who traveled from afar? Many traveled, not even from the United States, is what I read online, to give honor to Charlie Kirk. And each speaker spoke about Jesus mm-hmm. because that's who Charlie spoke about and pointed about and had faith in.
Amen.
That was his identity. It was his foundation. And I just want to read a couple of quotes that came out of this memorial service. Vice President J.D. Vance said, I have talked more about Jesus Christ the past 2 weeks than I have my entire time in public office.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that beautiful?
Awesome.
Secretary of War, now it's called the Department of War, not Defense, Pete Hegseth said, we always did need less government. This is what he said about Charlie Kirk, what he said. We always did need less government, but what Charlie understood and infused into his movement is we also needed a lot more God, he said. So on this Sunday, looking around the stadium, he said, I'd like to think we're all in Charlie's church. Mm. And President Trump, who was the last speaker, he said, Charlie ultimately became convinced that we needed not just a political realignment, but a spiritual awakening. President Trump said he would have been so pleased to hear his friends and colleagues today giving testimony and giving glory to God. So that's what we're going to talk about today, because Charlie is calling the church to get engaged in politics. And I know we know that this is a controversial subject. Mm-hmm. And politics and government are two different things, which our producer David's going to go into later. Yeah. But we need to be the salt and light that Matthew calls us to be. Mm-hmm. We need to go into all spheres of the world, government, education, business, entertainment, whatever it is. There's seven spheres. And the Lord calls us to go into those spheres and not live within the four walls of the church, because we're called to be the salt and light. And this is what Charlie said. Silence is consent, period. We cannot be silent anymore. And that's what we're talking about today.
Each of us has a voice.
Yep.
Each of us has a testimony. And we use that testimony to the glory of God. And it's for the good of those that are around us, but it's also for our own good. It bolsters our courage. It bolsters our faith when we're able to speak truth in love and compassion to people. And sometimes that's hard. And we have that discussion a lot of times around our Monday table. It's hard sometimes to speak that truth in love. But that was one thing that always, even if he did not agree with them, Charlie was always willing to give that mic to someone he Absolutely. Didn't. In fact, he asked them to bring it to the front of the line. If you don't agree with me, please come to the front of the line.
And
come
the
to
campuses the, he spoke
yeah.
to.
Yep. So that was his signature, you know, prove me wrong. So that's why we have a lot of clips of what he believed, because he encouraged that. Mm. How many times, I'm going to speak for myself, mm-hmm. how many times have I stepped back and not engaged with someone because they had a very strong personality mm-hmm. or they had a very strong opinion on something. Mm. And we have to remember that opinion is not always, and I look at myself first, because I've had a lot of people correct me, mm-hmm. even on biblical things, you know? Mm-hmm. Hey, let's look at that a little bit closer. Is that truly what the Bible says about this? Mm-hmm. And Charlie would take it back to that basic foundation of the scriptures.
Yes.
And that would be what he would quote at the very end of everything. He would always bring it back to that. Now, he wasn't perfect, and I didn't agree with him on absolutely every single, but mm-hmm. when you come back to the scriptures, there's really not a lot that you can argue if you are a true believer and Holy Spirit is working within you. He will, what does the word say about that? He will like,
and you're looking at me, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with itself.
Yes.
And so that's what it does when someone is speaking truth. When you are holding and housing Holy Spirit within you, it will bear witness with itself. So that's the truth of the gospel, not my words. But
and I just wanted to, when Stephanie was saying that we may not speak out because you know, possibly the person you're speaking to has a strong personality, but possibly because we're scared.
Oh, yeah.
And
fear.
This is what the Bible says. Proverbs 29:25. I know Keith knows this. He's our Bible scholar in here.
Mm-hmm.
With
his Bible all open
and all highlighted. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Charlie, and like Charlie, we all need to just bring the truth, and the truth will bear witness, as Stephanie said.
Amen.
Amen. The truth will bear witness.
Truth. Yeah.
You know, when I'm out on the street and some of these people come up and they want to argue mm-hmm. against the gospel, it's amazing about the responses that you receive when you're out on the street. And
wow.
the responses that you get, you know, don't push your agenda on me. Mm. I don't need to hear what you think. I don't need to know, you know, to hear what you believe. What you believe is what you believe. And God tells us, you know, well, God is the truth. And we know that there's only one truth, and that is from the Lord
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ.
He is Amen. The truth.
So, you know, it's It's being bold out there, but it's also understanding that people's hearts are hardened because of where they come from or their background. And that's the patience that we have to have as we go into having conversations with other people.
And I think
for those
hardened
hearts.
I think that Anne spoke about that just a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
You said the word relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Charlie didn't know a lot of these people, some of them come back time after time after time, and he'd say, I've seen you before.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he'd let him speak again, you know, because he knew it was going to be a good conversation. But that I think that's the key. And I'm going to talk about this later, you know, towards the end of the show. But truth is part of it. But, you know, relationship
mm-hmm.
and trust
mm-hmm.
is a huge part of having a conversation with somebody. If they don't know you, then you welcome them into the conversation and say, well, let's have a conversation about that. I'm sure you do that out on the street. Let's talk about that then. Mm-hmm. Let's just have you tell me what you think. You know, and if you listen to them first, a lot of times they might be willing to listen to you. It's that trust level.
You have to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Too. Like sometimes, and I know, Keith, you're always on the streets. The Holy Spirit will point to you. Okay, maybe that person mm-hmm. is who you need to talk to,
well,
but that person's not open.
What happens
you
for
know?
Me? Yeah, what happens for me is that person will come to me because I'm on the corner. And that's when the dialogue mm-hmm. starts. So it's not that, and the Lord showed me this really big mm-hmm. time, let me tell you, because I crossed the street one time to go and say, oh, that person might need salvation. So I went across. Lord said, that's not how it works.
Who do you get your marching orders from, Keith?
Yeah.
That's not how it works. So when the Lord brought over, you know, the Lord brings people into our world,
yeah.
Right? Into our world, mm-hmm. and 1 Corinthians 16 tells us to do everything in love.
Mm.
So it's the patience and the responses that I get, and I think I even said last week, you know, you get dialogue that is unpleasant to the ears, you know, a couple of words that are said. That are just the response that they normally have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just speaking about our topic, how the church needs to get involved in government and politics. Maybe after the break, David will explain the difference between politics and government, because they're two terms that are very different.
They're different, but
Charlie,
they're also intertwined.
Charlie was not afraid. He said his day job. This is what he said in a recent reel. I've watched so many reels since he passed, but I did it even before he passed. I was a very big fan of Charlie Kirk. What was I going to say?
Well, I don't know.
Tell us. Oh, my goodness.
Church
well,
while
government. You're thinking, one thing that strikes me is that today, I don't know how many pastors train their people in the art of debate. Charlie was gifted in that way
yes.
as a debater, and he brought to the table tremendous amount of reading,
mm-hmm.
yes, the Word of God. He was very deep into the Word of God. But he also read other sources that informed his, you know, how he was going to present.
Yep.
Just history. It was a big study of history. Because the arguments that are being brought to him all have a historical root.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you this. I've not been trained as in debate. Over the years, I've sort of had to learn how to present the gospel and hear people
mm-hmm.
get out of them what they need to say in order to compare it to what the truth is. But the church is, I wonder if by and large churches teach their people, if they're into the evangelical aspect of what it means to be a Christian, teach them how to debate in the public sphere.
Well, the Bible says that we have to be ready and have a defense for what we believe, right? That's what the Bible says. I think Stephanie was going to say the same thing.
No, you're good. That's what I was going to say.
So that entails us studying. And for me, you know, I'm very, my mind is always going and I always have questions. What are some questions that Charlie anticipated all these questions from all the 20-year-olds, 19-year-olds, mm-hmm. 18-year-olds. And he studied.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to answer people's questions, because if we don't answer them, then they're going to believe their faulty thinking. So what he did was he listened to them in a respectful, loving way and just gave them facts. It was all facts. It was not just Charlie making up stuff. It was facts. and the truth.
I think that the downfall of, I guess the art of debate is knowing what you believe and having a biblical worldview and being able to know how to answer the questions. And I'll be honest, I'm illiterate on a lot of those things. I really, truly am. And so a lot of the things that I've had to do is go back and read the scriptures and find out historically what was going on at the time. My brother's really good at helping me with that. But, and I have to find people that, are good at it, and we then talk. And then it gives me courage that when I'm out speaking to someone who doesn't know, then I'm able to bring that into that realm of someone that may debate me. And it's really not a debate. It's more of a conversation.
Yes.
And really, at the heart of it, debate is a conversation with a very specific goal. And one goal we have is to take a break right now. So we're going to do that. We'll be back. And when we come back, if I remember, the first thing I'm going to do is give you our phone number so you can call if you have a question or a comment. What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Renowned saxophonist Aaron Abu joins former Miami Sound Machine members Pedro Alfonso and Manny Lopez in concert to benefit the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, a charity that blesses military veterans, first responders, and their families. This is only one night at the Lyric Theater, downtown Stuart, Florida, October the 30th. For more information, tickets are available online at lyrictheater.com or by phone 772-286-7827.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Hey, welcome back. It's okay. We can have some infield chatter here. You know, we're on the air.
It was all about the show.
We're a live body of people. We're vibrant with ideas and hopes and dreams. And we've been sharing about really Charlie Kirk's, one of the major visions that he had was calling the church to get back into government and politics. And we're going to invite you. You may want to call and either offer a comment or ask a question. The number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. It's a radio station number. And I thought it might be helpful just to do a little something remedial. Talk about that there are differences between government and politics, although keep in mind that they go together. But how do we understand government? And how do we understand politics? I did this little study because it seemed to me when we hear the word politics, our minds race to images that are frightening and disturbing to us. Often those images show clashes of opinions and beliefs. We might be afraid of the arguments that ensue. We don't like arguments. Many of us don't like conflict. And in the midst of what we see as politics, there's always going to be conflict. Tell me that, Stephanie. I can't read your sign.
We need to give them WCNO's number so they can call in if they need to.
Okay, well, I just gave the number, but I'll do it again.
Okay, I was not listening. That's my fault today.
Come back
Sorry.
To planet Earth if you would. Okay. I'll do that number again, 772-221-1100.
We are. Lord, bring us together.
All right, now.
This is as live as it could be.
I'll give you that number again without the crosstalk. 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100. All right. What is government? In essence, government is the formal institutional structure for ruling a society, while politics is the dynamic process of how power is obtained and used within that system. And we can look at them distinctly, but they're also inseparable. You can't have government without politics. You can't have politics, really, without government. So government is a system. It's a body of people and institutions that make and enforce laws and administer public affairs for a state of community or a nation. It's got structure. We have in the American government and in state governments is mirrored. We have legislative, executive, and judiciary branches of government. Government provides a stable organizational framework that a society operates within. And it also is the seat of the authority of the nation. Politics is a process within that system where a group of people make decisions, allocate power and resources, and negotiate different ideas. Politics, there's action, right, involves activities, including debate, campaigning, and negotiation that individuals and groups use to compete for influence over government action and policy. So that's, in essence, now that's pretty broad stroke, right?
Yeah.
But when what we're talking about is we live in America. America has a specific governmental system. And within that system, politics works, and it works at every level. And we can also say sometimes when we see the politics of our nation, it's very satisfying because we see decision-making that blesses the people.
Mm-hmm.
We can also, though, say that sometimes politics is distressing because we see argumentation, we see disagreement that often brings very painful conversations or ends conversations where there could be hope for resolution. This is because all of this involves human beings, and we're flawed, we're broken at our very best, that's our humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are as human, broken human beings, doing our well, we're going to bring God into the mix because God wants to be in government, and this is what we're going to be going back to talking about. And with that, I'm going to throw this out to the body. the bodies gathered around the mics.
Well, let's see if I can get this right. I'm so sorry. I was not listening at the beginning of that. Oh, my goodness. You know, one of the things that is different now from when in biblical times, a lot of people say, well, there's no politics in the Bible and there's no government in the Bible. But the government was set up actually in our homes when he created man and wife. I mean, that is a governmental type thing.
The family unit.
Type
of government.
Go back to Genesis.
Yeah.
And but, you know, we'd actually literally have to throw out 3/4 of the Old Testament if we didn't think that there was government in the Old Testament or in the Bible at all. It's just a different way of looking at it, and it's a broader theological sense. So you look at Joseph. Joseph was he was second in command to Pharaoh in Egypt. And my notes are not coming up here. Moses, the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Micah. I mean, all of those are books in the Bible. Daniel was led of God in the political realm or in the governmental realm. Esther and Mordecai. Oh my goodness! I mean, she was used to help save the nation.
Yeah. Right, and Daniel changed the culture.
Yes, he did.
He brought God back into the nation.
Yeah.
He brought
three Hebrew children. I mean, there was a lot in that time frame.
Right, because he stood for what he believed.
He acted on it.
He stood on it, and God was the cornerstone. Right.
Yeah, people noticed it. And it doesn't mean that you have to be an elected official, but we are each responsible for what we do within our realm or in our sphere, as Keith was saying earlier. And then, of course, Jesus, I mean, he was involved in all of the political realm and the government body. And he, of course, our Christian belief is built on that rock.
Well, what Jesus did, our Savior, is he spoke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Mm-hmm. That was a ruling party back then. Mm-hmm. So in the clip that was played in the beginning, Pastor Andrew Sedra is like, I don't know what Bible people are reading when they think that we should not get involved in government or politics. Because as Stephanie just outlined, there's all these characters in the Bible. She said Joseph, Moses, King David, King Solomon, Daniel, Jesus, Paul the Apostle.
Yeah, in the New Testament, then you've got Paul.
Yes. Yeah. And I know that the concept of being political in the scriptures isn't always framed the same way we think of politics today.
Right.
Like, we think of politics today, we think Republicans, Democrats, we think elections, we think democratic processes. But these people in the Bible were deeply involved in governance, power structures, and public affairs. And the Bible is the truth of God. That's the example that the Word has given us to be involved and to get involved in politics and government. It just, I wish people would call who don't agree, because I would like to know I want to understand. And I'm not looking to get into arguments. I want to understand why people believe the opposite. I really do, because I don't see where in the Bible it says that.
No.
And I want to be like Charlie and hear and see.
We're going to set you up a tent outside.
That's true.
I've been praying for to remember things like Charlie does, and I've been trying to read as much as I can, because we are accountable to what we do with our lives on this earth. We cannot be scared to get engaged with intellectual conversations.
And what's so amazing is we have I'm going to say 100 years or less. I mean, there are some people that go beyond 100, but very few at this point in time. But we have 100 years or less on the face of this planet to be
make
the
a
light,
difference.
To be the light that God has called us to be. And, you know, are we perfect? Yes. No, we are not. We are not. I am not. I'll just speak for myself. I definitely am not. And so, you know, I'm willing to listen and to study, to show myself, you know, to show
yourself
approved.
Yeah, speaking of listening, I know that the Lord has downloaded something to Keith recently. Hmm. When you ask the Lord, you give him your time. I know Keith walks his dog super early in the morning in the dark, and the Lord downloads things in the quiet of the morning.
Amen.
And the Lord's recently downloaded something to Keith regarding engaging in the political sphere. And I don't know if we want to read that now or wait till the next break, but do we have time? We should be okay, right?
The one thing that I think that, you know, we're not telling everybody to get involved in politics specifically.
You don't have to run for office.
Right,
you don't have to.
We just want people to be active in what's going on in this country, and to be active so that evil doesn't control the United States or control us. And as children of God, and God gave us freedom through Jesus Christ. And that's what Charlie spoke about. He spoke about the freedom that God gave us. And that freedom has to continue even in politics through government. In politics through government. And Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that, let me see if I can find this right here. It reads 4:11. It says, not everybody, here we are, Christ himself, okay, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So, so we're not saying for everybody to go and jump and be into politics, but whatever you're doing, expressing the love of Christ through who you are in your actions and wherever the Lord has you in your life, if you're a plumber, if you're a carpenter, but to be active and to not let people, like my mom used to say sometimes, you know, oh, I'm not going to make a difference. It's not going to matter what I do. But, you know, but everybody needs to go and vote. My brother would say the same thing. It doesn't matter if I vote or not. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does. It does matter. Right now, you've got a situation going on over in New Jersey, in the state of New Jersey. They're voting for a governor. Right? And one
even
side,
New York or New Jersey?
New Jersey.
Ah.
They're voting for a governor in New Jersey.
Okay.
And this is what the left side said about Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was advocating for a Christian nationalist government and to roll back the rights of women and black people. This flies in the face of every value I hold dear and that I fight for. As a Christian, I can't support that ideology.
Mm-hmm.
As a Christian.
Is that the candidate for the left for New
for
Jersey?
For the left for New Jersey.
Okay.
Her name is Mickey Sherrill.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the statement on the Kirk resolution when they were trying to make a resolution for Charlie Kirk, I guess in the House of Representatives. But she criticizes Charlie Kirk. And it's under that guise, like, Charlie Kirk did not go out and do that. Charlie Kirk spoke love through Jesus Christ.
It just annoys me, Keith, because the left has put a label on Charlie Kirk, and then they believe the racist label, the homophobic label. But I believe the millions that have watched that memorial service will actually look at primary evidence, which is his actual video, the reels. If you go to the primary evidence...
Yes.
And you will see that he was not that man. Even people who disagreed with him. There was a CNN commentator who disagreed with Charlie Kirk, and he put on video this week. But Charlie was always respectable and open to hearing people who differed from him. And he did not. He was not a racist. He was not a homophobic person. He was not rolling back women's rights.
Right.
He was the opposite.
Right.
So we are called to look at the primary evidence and not just believe everything that's thrown at us. The right, the conservatives and the liberals, we all have to be like that.
Well,
we have to know the issues. We have to know the people. And don't just take for granted what something says in an article without doing your own research. It's so important. Charlie was not that person. And it gets me angry because they're vilifying him in a way that was not a true picture of Charlie.
If we're listening as a Christian, if we're listening to somebody who doesn't like Charlie Kirk or doesn't believe that Charlie Kirk was a Christian and he's
that
spewing
makes no
out
sense.
If you're listening to something that's being televised, then you're listening to the wrong station. You're listening to the wrong station.
The truth is always available. You know, when you hear something about someone, especially someone
it's
like Charlie
available.
Kirk, who has been in the public eye for a long time, and there's so much that is available for you to go and review easily to test what you're hearing. What I'll tell you is, in so many cases, not just with Charlie, but so many other people that are purveyors of the truth, is there are people who will paint a picture from a palette of fear.
Yes.
And that's what they're doing. And if you buy that picture and you say that that's all there is and you don't do your own research, you are just as guilty as they are.
And that's why we say getting political, because you need to actually read about the issues. All right.
Yep. Let's take a break.
find you. Oh, lead me to the place where you'll be. Lead me to the cross where we first met. Draw me to my knees where we can talk. Let me feel your breath. Let me know you're here with me.
And we're back, the last portion of a biblical response for this Tuesday, the 23rd of September in the year 2025. Can you believe it? Anyway, if you want to call, there's still time to call, 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. You know, actually, I forgot who's supposed to go after
Keith.
Keith, we're going to go to Keith, right?
So yeah, so we were just talking about Congresswoman Mickey Sherrill and what she represents over on the left, and it raises the question: are we as Christians putting people into office who align themselves to a political party that stops prayer? That stops prayer in the chambers of the House of Representatives? As we ask God for help in restoring this nation to unity through Jesus Christ. To verbally deny a prayer request is to deny God or to seek God's help. When we vote for a specific candidate, we support their heart. Do we as Christians believe that it's okay to support or to vote for the election of someone who is going to agree that prayer is not allowed in government or in the schools or in the public square? Lauren Boebert, a Republican from Colorado, called for spoken prayer in the House of Representatives after the assassination of Charlie Kirk in Utah. Inside the chambers, we hear representatives shouting, "No, not allowed." In the book of Micah, God says, "He has told you, mortal one, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Are we as Christians voting to support murder, voting to support gay rights, voting to support transgender culture, and voting to support the killing of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ as they did to Charlie Kirk? Charlie Kirk co-founded the nationally known movement, Turning Point USA. The goal was for introspection to a generation of young minds being developed by lies. Charlie Kirk used scripture, the truth that only comes from God, as the cornerstone for that introspection. Proverbs 21, verse 30 tells us, "There is no wisdom, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. In examining this verse, Jimmy Swaggart writes, irrespective of the opposition, with all of its earthly wisdom and understanding, if it is fighting against God, it cannot win. In other words, if our hearts do not align with God's word as Christians, we are spitting into the wind or rowing against the tide by supporting the moral decay in America. It's not about blue or red anymore. It's about scriptural battle of this nation, it's about the spiritual battle of this nation that scripture warns us about.
Yes.
Psalm 35, verse 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. And my righteous cause is God's cause. Mm-hmm. And as Jesus said to the disciples, toss your nets to the right side in John 21, verse 6. And it is only those who do not depend on the finished work of the cross who lack in love.
That's powerful, Keith.
Thank you.
That's beautiful.
So,
is that what you got early in the morning?
That's what
when
I
you
got
were...
early in the morning.
Wow. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and I wrote it down, yes.
It's not about red versus blue, Keith.
It's not about red versus blue.
As what the
blue.
Lord gave you, it is about evil versus good.
It's the spiritual battle that you can't see. That you can't see in the minds and in the hearts of people that separates this nation.
That's right.
But it's there. It's there.
And we as Christians, though, we have spiritual eyes, and we're supposed to see what's happening. And as David said, though, like some people who label themselves Christian, are they really discerning? Are they really Christian? I don't want to be judgmental. I'm trying not to be judgmental, but you have to discern if somebody...
No, but, you know, to
discern.
Think, right. But, you know, I think that because, you know, somebody might not like people in a certain party, you're not voting for that person. You're voting for the moral issue of what that party or those people stand for and represent.
Yeah.
Okay? So, because you're tying yourself,
for the
right,
red or the
platform,
blue.
Right. You're aligning yourself with a platform. And as we align ourselves with that platform, you're lifting it up. So we are lifting up, like Charlie Kirk, lifted up the platform of God, Jesus, and the country.
I mean, I think it speaks volumes when the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, wanted to just vote to basically honor the life and legacy of Charlie Kirk. It's just wanting to honor this man who you could even see on TV was brutally murdered. Okay? And then the vote was split, like... between Democrats, like 58 voted against it to honor. That makes no sense.
Makes no sense. No it, sense.
It leaves it's me speechless just, because I'm,
it's
yeah.
It's
I'm,
so, oh.
This is the thing that prompts me to remind people. We are called to pray. God gives us the focus on where, who, for whom and for what we need to pray.
Yeah. Well, it's for the children. Actually, it's for the kids and the children. It's the minds.
Yes.
And the people who don't believe like we do is what I think David's saying, right?
Well, there's that, yes. But I was going to fine-tune that to talk about praying for our nation. And to do that properly, we have to remember God wants us to pray for the government as well. And because we're getting back to that. But I was early on in that clip that was played at the very beginning.
Yes.
The dialogue between Charlie Kirk and that pastor.
And Pastor Andrew Sedra.
Yes. Yep. And the question was, you know, where was the church when, well, first of all, where was the church when the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Roe v. Wade? And where was the church when it was...
silent.
When it was... the church was silent on both ends, and then when it was overruled, still didn't hear a lot from the church. And... We have to pray. You know, I keep getting back to the Great Commission, right? If you want a synthesis of what the church is all about, go to Matthew 16 or 28, 16 through 20. The last words Jesus gave the church before he ascended, he made it a nice, succinct command. And there's no room, there's no wiggle room. It's pretty clear. You know, first of all, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, and that word therefore means in the essence, I'm passing it on to you. Go forth into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you until the end of the age. But in that is, we've been given his authority, complete authority, to do whatever he wants us to do in the world. And at the same time, we have to realize that this is the expression of God's government to the church.
You know, really quickly, it's the church, the big C church, that will determine the future of Western civilization. Mm-hmm. If the church does not take its, I'm reading a quote from Charlie right now, will the church take its rightful biblical role, okay, to be counselor to the king, to be truth teller to the culture, and proclaimer of Jesus, even when there is a great cost? And I pray the church will step up. We are at that turning point right now where the church needs to step up.
Yeah.
The church needs to step up. It's you know, can't get more.
And stepping up doesn't always mean, like we said before, I'll reiterate it. You don't have to go out and run for office. Although when I was in Missouri working at the Capitol at times, I was in one of the Senate office, I think, and the senator said that there were 12 votes or 12 phone calls that came in on a vote that he had to make the next day or something.
Yeah.
And those 12 phone calls changed his mind to something that he was going to vote differently on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 12 phone calls, what does that even mean?
Mm.
That means that if you feel led to call your senator or your representative, wherever, if state or federal, don't be afraid to do it. Don't think that you don't make a difference and have a voice. It is truly not just the voting booth. It is prayer, and it is taking that one little phone call and going, I'm going to sit on hold for a minute and give my vote to this person on this thing that he has to go on the floor and represent me on. That's what it means to take a little bit of action.
And Stephanie, you had a closing, closing comments for us. Why don't you do that now?
All right. Well, as we get ready to bring this program in for a landing, this has been an interesting airplane ride that we've been on.
Yeah.
I want to just make that call to action, kind of like we do every Tuesday, right at the end of our show.
Yep.
But we, and I'm speaking to the individual sitting here in this studio, we don't want you, our listening audience, to ever feel like we are telling you how to vote or think. And I think we've talked a little bit about this already, but just let me reiterate that this program is a vehicle to hopefully produce questions or interest in a subject, and then to provide avenues for you, our listening audience, to research these topics for yourself. And Anne, you talked about that earlier.
Yes.
I mean, this is what the Lord gave me this morning as I was talking and thinking about the closing. And, you know, that's what we've been doing this whole time.
Yeah.
Not everyone is going to agree with absolutely everything that we say on this show. But our goal is to help you have a desire. You as the listening audience have a desire to, as 2 Timothy says, to study to show thyself approved unto God.
Yes.
Not to us, but unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And truth is the operative word in that scripture. So where do we go to find truth? Obviously, the word of God is our first line of defense, right? It's our first line of truth. But what happens when that word doesn't give you the person's name you should vote for, or what judge to think is trustworthy, or what constitutional amendment means, or, you know, the language on that is always so, it's always so messed up, and we don't always know what it means. So where do we go, or who do we go to that we trust? Well, trust is the next word, I would say, and we talked about this earlier. You have to trust where you're getting your information. And so who can I trust to help make a decision or to understand this? Well, just an example, you're here listening to WCNO. We pray that our mission and our core values here will allow the listening audience to trust what we're saying. We try to produce godly programming and all of that, but there is a resource, and I'm going to take it down to one resource because I think if we throw 15 out there, we'll all get confused. But there's one resource that is very unique to Florida, and there are other states right now that are trying to emulate what Florida is doing, and that is Florida Family Voice. I'm going to tell you, it's flfamily.org. Go there. Their phone number is on there, but I'll give it to you right now if you want it. It's 407-251-5130, flfamily.org. I want to just read to you one or two of their core principles. God does not fit neatly into political parties or political theories. He is not a Republican, Democrat, or independent. He is God. Neither is he conservative, liberal, or moderate. He is God. 1 Corinthians 1:25 is where they get that from. And then it says, only the gospel has the power to properly transform people who together transform a nation. The church is not a worldly voice. It is an ambassador of a heavenly kingdom. I mean, that sounds so much like what we've been hearing over the last. This is an entity in the state of Florida that we have that is working for us as listeners, as constituents of a representative government. This is a body of people that are working together to influence, not to influence, but to educate us on what is coming. So if you want to know, go to flfamily.org. There are so many different avenues that they go down. Their mission is to build a relationship between the shepherds of God's church and God's government as portrayed in the Bible. So here they are speaking to the pastors. The pastors, they have a love for the pastors. It's called the Florida Capital Project, and it's an avenue in which they are working with pastors across the state of Florida to develop a ministering relationship with our elected officials. I'm telling you that just makes my heart swell with love for these people that are working so hard for our, not only our government, but the people that are the constituents. One of the things that they say, stand in the gap. Our hope is to build relationships with our legislators. We ask for nothing of them, no policy discussions, no agenda. We just want to pray for them. And with them, we want to stand in the gap for them and their family. I just want to thank them for what they're doing right now. And if they hear this, we hope, I know that they listen sometimes, so we are so thankful for Florida Family Voice. You can go on there, and they have everything from the pastors, anything the pastors need. But they have other subjects like crisis pregnancy,
for
human
everybody,
trafficking.
Though, not just pastors.
Oh, yes. And this is for anybody
Everyone.
That's listening.
Voter guides.
That's right. The main thing I was going to talk about was the voter guides. If you have a question, that's one of their main avenues of getting education out there to the churches. And even the legal aspect, that is huge. There's so many lies that say that we can't be part of the government. We can't be part. We are the government. We should be speaking. So I just want to flfamily.org. I just want to encourage anyone that has any questions to go on that website.
Amen. That's a great organization. Yeah, we only need to give one resource because that's the place to go. Time is almost up. I do want to tell you that maybe you kicked in the program after we started and you don't know all we've talked about, you can go to WCNO.com. That's our main, our website. And on the top of the page, there's a little blue button that will help you go to our archives and to listen in on demand to the program that we'll be wrapping up in, well, right now. Okay, just looking at the clock. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Join us next week.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO.